Welcome to the Nowracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and we've got a packed show today.
Hello, everyone. Today, we're diving deep into the latest release from Anthropic, Claude Opus 4.8, which is bringing a major shift in how AI handles complex coding tasks.
It's a fascinating update, especially their focus on model honesty over simply being a yes man to developers. We'll break down what that means for the future of agentic workflows.
We've also got news on YouTube rolling out automatic labeling for AI-generated videos, moving away from relying entirely on the honor system for creator disclosure.
Plus, we'll look at a surge in traffic for DuckDuckGo as users push back against Google's AI overviews, and a new study showing just how much the top frontier models disagree on basic fact checks.
A lot to cover, so let's get right into it.
Let's get right into our main story today. Anthropic just dropped Claude Opus 4.8 on May 28th. This is the official follow-up to Opus 4.7, which we actually talked about a couple of days ago regarding that tool use compliance cliff developers were seeing.
Right. The timing here is really interesting. It feels like a direct response to some of the friction the community was experiencing. The most striking thing about this release isn't a massive leap in context windows or a radical price cut. In fact, pricing is completely flat at $5 per million input tokens and $25 per million output.
Which is a relief, honestly. But the headline feature Anthropic is pushing is what they call honesty. They ran evaluations showing that Opus 4.8 is four times less likely than 4.7 to allow flaws in generated code to pass unremarked.
That's a huge behavioral shift. For the longest time, the industry standard for LLMs has been this sort of eager-to-please, yes-man persona. You give it a block of code, it says, great job, here's the output. Even if there's a glaring race condition or a memory leak, earlier models would often just silently work around it or ignore it entirely.
Exactly. And if you're using AI for serious software engineering, a yes-man is a liability. You want a stringent code reviewer. You want a model that stops and says, wait, this logic is flawed, and I'm not going to pretend it's fine.
Anthropic explicitly states that Opus 4.8 is designed to flag its own uncertainties. It's a much more mature approach to AI collaboration. It acknowledges that when you move into complex reasoning tasks, recognizing what you don't know or what's broken is just as valuable as generating new lines of code.
It's worth digging into how Anthropic actually measures that 4x improvement in honesty. They essentially run the model through massive suites of intentionally flawed code, everything from subtle off-by-one errors to major architectural anti-patterns.
And the pass condition isn't just fixing the code. It's explicitly identifying the flaw in its reasoning trace before applying the fix. If it fixes it by accident or ignores it, it fails the evaluation.
That level of deterministic evaluation is exactly what enterprise teams have been asking for. You want a clear audit trail of why the AI made a specific change. It moves the LLM from a black box generator to a transparent reasoning engine. This directly ties into the new capabilities they've unlocked in the ecosystem. With this release, we're seeing the introduction of effort control in the Claude.ai web interface, and more importantly, dynamic workflows for Claude Code. Dynamic workflows are where things get slightly terrifying, in a good way. We're talking about the model orchestrating tasks across tens to hundreds of parallel subagents. You aren't just asking it to write a function anymore, you're asking it to refactor an entire monolithic repository, and it's spinning up a small army of agents to do it in the background.
Which brings us back to why that honesty metric is so critical. If you are handing the keys over to a system that is managing hundreds of parallel tasks autonomously, the risk profile goes through the roof. If it hallucinates or ignores errors at that scale, you could corrupt a code base in seconds.
Right. You absolutely need the model to be self-correcting. Think about the context window implications here. From what we've seen in the documentation, this seems to be a map-reduce-style architecture. A primary orchestrator model breaks the problem down, delegates discrete chunks to subagents with narrow context, and then synthesizes the results.
Which is incredibly token-efficient compared to dumping your entire codebase into a massive 2 million token window and hoping the model pays attention to the right files. If a subagent only has the context of the specific module it's refactoring, its accuracy goes way up.
But that synthesis step relies entirely on the orchestrator's ability to catch integration errors. If subagent A changes a variable name that subagent B relies on, the orchestrator must be capable of saying, wait, this merge creates a conflict. I need to kick this back. If it just rubber stamps the subagent's work, the whole system falls apart.
It also changes how we think about compute allocation. With effort control, users can explicitly tell the model to spend more compute on a task. You are essentially buying more parallel subagents or more iterative review cycles. A simple regex fix might be low effort, but a database migration gets high effort and runs for 5 minutes.
It's a fascinating evolution. But there's an elephant in the room here. Axios confirmed that Anthropic is still planning to release a much more powerful Mythos class model in the coming weeks. We talked about Project Glasswing using a Mythos preview last week to find 0 days.
Yeah, so the question is, why release Opus 4.8 right now? Is it just a stopgap? I don't think so. I view Opus 4.8 as Anthropic establishing the infrastructure and the behavioral guardrails for the new paradigm. They need developers to get comfortable with effort control and dynamic workflows using a model that is heavily optimized for honesty.
That makes perfect sense. You build the scaffolding, the parallel orchestration, the self-reporting mechanisms, and you validate that it works. Then when Mythos drops, you just swap out the underlying engine, and the ecosystem is already prepared to handle it safely.
Exactly. If you gave developers dynamic workflows with an unpredictable model, it would be a disaster. Opus 4.8 is the stabilizing bridge. It proves that agentic coding can be reliable, and it sets a new bar for how AI should interact with professional engineers.
All right, that's the big release, but there's a lot more happening across the industry this week. Let's hit a few more stories real quick.
Sounds good. Where are we starting?
Keeping with the Anthropic theme, the actual Claude Code Terminal tool got a major update to version 2.154 to support everything we just talked about. Opus 4.8 is now the default, and they've introduced a new fast mode for it.
Yeah, this fast mode gives you 2.5 times the speed for double the standard rate. What's crazy is that it's 3 times cheaper than their previous fast mode iterations. They also completely replaced the old /simplify command with /code review, which is now strictly focused on cleanup and reporting broken code.
Plus, the lean system prompt is now the default for all models except Haiku and older Opus versions. It really shows they're stripping away the conversational filler and tuning the CLI exclusively for high-signal developer work.
Definitely. If you're working in the terminal, you want a precise tool, not a chat buddy.
Moving over to media, YouTube is officially done relying entirely on the Honor system for AI disclosures. They are rolling out an automatic detection system to label videos that contain significant photorealistic AI-generated content.
It's a big shift. If their system flags it, or if the file contains C2PA metadata from tools like Google's Veo, you'll get a permanent AI label right below the video player, or as an overlay on Shorts. It doesn't affect monetization or recommendations, but it gives viewers immediate context.
Creators can still appeal in YouTube Studio if they think it's a false positive, and YouTube is explicitly exempting clearly stylized animation or behind-the-scenes productivity uses like AI scriptwriting.
With the sheer volume of AI-generated content flooding platforms today, proactive labeling was inevitable. You just can't trust everyone to self-report accurately.
Speaking of Google, their aggressive push into AI overviews is creating some serious friction. DuckDuckGo reported a 22.7% week-over-week spike in visits to their AI-free search page between May 20th and May 25th.
And it's not just web traffic. U.S. mobile app installs for DuckDuckGo rose 18.1%, with iOS installs peaking at an incredible 69.9% jump on May 25th alone. Their CEO, Gabriel Weinberg, openly criticized Google for force-feeding AI without an opt-out.
Google countered by saying their AI mode has over 1 billion monthly users and that search queries hit an all-time high in Q1. They clearly feel the broader market wants this.
It's the classic silent majority versus vocal minority situation.
Google has the massive numbers, but there is clearly a growing, highly motivated market for a pro-choice traditional search experience.
and DuckDuckGo is perfectly positioned to capture them.
Finally, a new study from Lens Research evaluated 1,000 real-world user claims by running them through 5 top-tier frontier LLMs. The results? 67% of the claims resulted in disagreement among the models. And it wasn't just minor quibbles. 34% showed a substantive disagreement, meaning a gap of 2 or more buckets on their 4-point scale, like one model saying true and another saying misleading.
Now, critics are pointing out that the study used a very strict prompt, forcing a single label with zero room for nuance or explanation. So it might just be exposing the flaws of rigid prompting rather than actual factual ignorance.
True, but it's a stark reminder for anyone building automated fact checkers. You cannot rely on a single API call to act as an objective arbiter of truth. The frontier models simply don't possess a unified worldview yet.
And that is going to do it for today's briefing. As always, links to all the research, releases, and studies we discussed are in the show notes.
Thanks for tuning in. If you're experimenting with Opus 4.8's dynamic workflows, let us know how it's handling your repositories. We'd love to hear the war stories.
We'll be back tomorrow with more tech news. Until then, keep compiling.
See you next time.